Hosanna. It means save us now. And it's a form of acclamation of praise. It doesn't mean, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me now. That's not what Hosanna means. That's not the meaning, even though it means save us. It means, you are God. There is nothing impossible for you. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! That's what it means. We need to get excited as Christians in our daily walk, not just when we come to this place that we call church. We need to be excited because the King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. You know, the Bible says, people say, the King is coming, the King is coming, the King is coming. Where is this King? We've waited. We haven't seen him. And it warns those people that think that. It warns Christians who think that. Why should I get excited that the King is coming? Because you do not know the time or the hour that the King will come. You do not know. However, the King is the King. He does not trifle with people, even his own, who says, we've said that for years. Billy Graham said that he thought that he'd see Jesus return before he died. Well, he's dead. And I still haven't seen the King. But my friends, let me tell you, the Jews that we celebrate today on Palm Sunday, those Jews, they were anticipating the King as well. And even though that the King came among them, they did not recognize him. His coming went and left them. And they were not saved because they did not put their faith and trust in the name of the only Son of God, Jesus Christ. There's a story I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell it through Scripture. It's about that day, that Sunday, 2,000 years ago, that we celebrate today called Palm Sunday. Why do we call it Palm Sunday? We call it Palm Sunday because when Jesus came to Jerusalem that last week before he went to the cross, people were excited, and people began to put palm branches down in front of him. People began to wave palm branches as he went by saying, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Thank you, Lord! The King is here. Listen. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, those were the preachers of the day, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're calling you the King. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Now, whenever you're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you're talking about the one who says, Let there be light, and there was light that was not there before. Let there be a lot of lights, the stars. Let there be planets. Let there be everything. And it's just through the word that everything that was not became and is that we see today. We, as Christians, we need to understand who we serve. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty King. We serve a King that is deserving of all glory, honor, and praise. And yet we go around so often in our place today with our heads down and say, I can't talk about the name of Jesus. My job is in jeopardy if I say the name of Jesus. Well, you know what? Their lives were in jeopardy after Jesus' ascension. The Romans decreed it. The Jews decreed it. If you preach in the name of Jesus, we will beat you. If you preach and if you teach in the name of Jesus Christ, we will take your property. Did that stop them? No, the Bible says that multitudes were added to their numbers. Are we any different? No, we're the same. We're afraid of the same things, and yet within us, the Holy Spirit cries out, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give Him all that you are. How can you do any less? When Jesus comes, will He find His church sleeping? When Jesus comes again, will He find His church cowering at the feet of unbelievers? Jesus Himself wondered about that. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Look at our church today. Look at the empty seats. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth today? You know, that prophecy has to be fulfilled. And yet Jesus asked it as a question. He didn't know. But He did know that there would be a great way. He'd be many people who needed to have their ears tickled. Not with the truth, but with what people wanted to hear. They would go wherever. He's talking about the church today. He's not talking about the Jews back then. He's talking about the church today. But it began with the Jews back then. And it continues for 2,000 years. For however long that the Lord's going to let this go on. And yet, God says, I have searched the land and I have not found anyone who will stand in the gap. What gap is He talking about? The gap of love, the gap of compassion, the gap of praise, the gap of, you name it. You just fill in the blank. Now that was to Israel. We are a special people, just like Israel is a special and chosen people. And yet we have one thing that the people of Israel did not have. We have the very Spirit of God dwelling within us. We have the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And that is a game changer. That is a definite demarcation line between them and us. The Jews are still favored of God. They are God's chosen people. And they will reign and they will rule the earth with Christ. But until that day, church, we are the people, the children of God. Will we simply follow the Father's instructions in our heart? Or will we say, not me, Lord, find somebody else. Brother Larry is more than capable. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. I already told you. He came proudly, openly into Jerusalem, which is the king, the city of the great king. Jesus Himself said it. It's the city of the great king. That's where He will reign through the thousand-year millennial reign, in Jerusalem. It won't be in the United States. It won't be in New York. It won't be in Paris. It won't be in London. It won't be in Venice. It won't be in Perth. It will be in Jerusalem. Because that is where He has chosen to have His name placed. That is His choosing. When Jesus comes again, when the King comes again, what will He find you doing? You know, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment seat of condemnation, because there is now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. The blood of Christ has erased, it has put away all sin now and forever. But will we stand ashamed and say, Lord, I wish I'd done more? I know there's been periods in my life where I wish I had looked back now, wish I'd done more. But in those periods, let Brother Larry do it. Let Paula do it. Let Mark do it. Let Mom and Vanessa and all the rest of them do it. I'm too busy to heed the call and the word of God in my life. I've got things to do. I don't think that I'll like to see that played on the big screen. And yet Jesus Himself says that I am precious to Him. Me, a sinner, I am precious to Him. They delivered Jesus, they being the religious folk, the Roman government. They delivered Jesus to be executed as a criminal on a cross. Here's a man that nothing could be found that was wrong with him, and yet the very thing that they crucified Him for was the truth. Whenever He stood before the high priest, He said, tell us, I adjure you by the name of the living God, are you the Christ? And Jesus says, you have said so. And you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in glory, seated at the right hand of the Father. And what did the religious folk do after He answered them truthfully? He tore His robes and He cried out, what more proof do we need? This heretic, this blasphemer deserves death. And all of His little roadies, yeah, he deserves death. Kill him! Crucify him! But you know, they couldn't do it because the Romans ruled Judea at the time. And the Romans always put in a law. And it was a Roman law. No matter what your laws say, you got to have our permission to execute a criminal. So they took him to Pilate. And Pilate says this. Now Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "You have said so." He didn't deny that he was the king. And he's not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of all creation. And so they nailed him to a cross. They marched him up Golgotha's hill. And the nails pierced his hands and his feet. And he hung there between two criminals. Listen to what Mark says about it. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." As a little dig that Pilate was getting back at those Pharisees and priests. He didn't like them. They didn't like him. The king of the Jews. That's who this man is. He's your king. And with him they crucified two robbers. One of his right and one of his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha ha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another saying, "He saved others. He can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from that cross that we may see and believe." And I almost bet you that they spit after they said it. That was the vitriol that was in their heart against the one that they'd been waiting for, the one they had kept preaching about. And yet he came to them and they didn't recognize him because they were too proud of who they were. Rather than humble before God, to hear God say, "Behold my son, with him I'm well pleased." We do the same things today. We're not any different. If you think that you're different, you a lot of times fool yourself. We need to honestly and soberly look at our hearts. It's easy to say, "I would never do that. I would never nail Jesus to the cross." And yet, when push comes to shove, when all those people, when Jesus came into Jerusalem saying, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, hail Jesus," where were they whenever Jesus was led into the middle of the marketplace before Pilate and all the priests, all the big up-and-ups? Where were they saying, "No, let him go, he's the king, he's our king, he's the Messiah"? The Bible doesn't record one dissenting voice. They all said, "Crucify him. Let his death be on us and our children." God loves them so much. Jesus loved them so much that he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." 2,000 years ago, Jerusalem and Judea, in a short period of time, was totally destroyed. And yet, here you have the nation of Israel in 1948 being reborn as a nation. And they exist as a nation once again. All the nations that were there then, they're all gone. They're the dustbin of history. The Jews have remained. Now you tell me that that's not God saying, "They're my people." But they paid a price for rejecting the king. The king will return. That's what we're really talking about today and every day that we come to church, every day that we draw breath. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You read in Revelation, Maranatha, and with some of the translations, and it means, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, Maranatha." It's in our heart that we desire that Jesus would come so that he could reign as king. But the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is in your heart. That's where the kingdom of God resides. It's in each and every one of your hearts today. And only you know if it truly resides in your heart. No one can tell you that he does, but you know he does because you've asked him to come in and to live with you forever, to forgive you of your sin, to make you white as snow. But there is coming a day where Jesus will return. Revelation 19:11-16 describes part of that day. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The question you have to ask yourself is, Jesus the King of your heart? I asked my Sunday school class that this morning. It's one of the stumbling blocks to faith, is a love of the world. You love things of the world and in the world more than you love Jesus. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he went on to say, and this is also true too, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love the Lord your God with all that you are? Because love, it's not a one-time love. It's not, I loved him a long time ago, but my love has grown cold. It's a daily love. It's a love that only you can give him. I can't work you up enough that you're going to love him when you leave this place any more than you love him right now. People outside these walls can't bring you down that you're going to love him any less than what you do right now. But you have to decide yourself, do I truly love Jesus? Is Jesus the King in my heart? What does that mean, the King? It means that you owe all that you are and all that you will ever be to him and to him alone. That's the King of our hearts. If you find yourself lacking, which I'd be the first to raise my hand, I'm lacking. All Jesus is come to me. Give it to me. Let's sit down and let's reason together. Let's find out where our problem is. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will give you rest. But it's something that only you can decide and only you know. And it's a day-to-day existence. Jesus stands ready to give you exactly the help that you need, exactly when you need it. But will you ask? And will you place Jesus, Lord, you're the King of my life? That's the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're able to gather in your house and to give you glory and praise today. I thank you, Father, for your word. Father, I desire that you are the King of my heart. So often, Lord, I've let you down. Often, Father, I've not done the things that I know I should have done. And yet, Lord, for all of us here today, we say, Hosanna, save us. You are God, and we are the children that love you. No matter how little or how much, but we love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Make changes in my life today. That's my prayer, that I may become the man, the person that you have created me to be. I pray for everyone that's here today, Father, that they too would come to you in humble adoration and penitence and say, Lord, save me from myself. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.